Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you. We would love to hear from you at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. That's a toll-free call, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and if you have something you're struggling with, if you have a Bible question you can't quite untangle, well, we would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. So call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel. Hello, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and I certainly want to echo your sentiments there and encourage our listeners to join us on today's broadcast by calling that number, 844-322-2742. We're making the case for grace. We would love to hear your story of grace and how you came to the point where you realized that you needed the grace of God in your life. So if you would like to chime in on that, we would love to hear from you today at 844-322-2742. You may have another question about a particular Bible passage, about a particular issue in your life. Now's the time to call. So join us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Today's Bible passage is from the book of Romans. We've been working through various passages out of the book of Romans, chapters 5 through 8. Today we're going to take a look at Romans chapter 7, and Paul starts this chapter with an illustration about marriage and divorce. And under the law, divorce was prohibited. The only way you could be released from marriage, as far as the law was concerned, was if your spouse died. And if your spouse died, then you were free to remarry. You were free to join yourselves with somebody else. Now, he uses that not to talk about marriage, but to talk about our relationship with the law of sin and death, that we were bound to that relationship. And the only way that we could be released from it is to die. And so we die in Christ Jesus. And when we die in Christ Jesus, we're released from the law of sin and death. And then we're raised up so that we could belong to another. And so in verse 4, Paul says this, "Likewise, my brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ." So you have been identified in Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so you have died to the law so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So that old relationship with sin and death didn't produce fruit for God. It produced another kind of fruit, a fruit that was harmful to others, harmful to ourselves. The consequences were grave in that old relationship, but we've died to that. Now we belong to Jesus Christ, and as we live in him, and that's what it means to abide in him, is to simply live in him, we're going to see a different fruit that is born in our lives, and that fruit is the fruit of God. Now, while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. That was what life was like when we were lost, when we were married to sin and death. But that relationship is no more. Right. We're in relationship with Jesus Christ. But now we were released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. So Jesus Christ came into this world to die for our sins. And he did that 2,000 years ago on a Roman cross. He is our Savior. And how he saves us is he severs us from that old relationship that we had with sin and death. At one time, sin was our master, but no more. We belong to someone else. We belong to Jesus Christ. And as the angel said to the shepherds, he is the cause for great joy in our lives. That old life was a cause of misery and frustration and pain and worry and fear and guilt and shame and all of those things that we wanted to be released from. But now that we belong to Jesus Christ, this relationship, he, Jesus Christ himself is the cause for great joy in our lives. Why? Because now our lives are bearing fruit for God as a result of the work of God's Spirit in and through us. That's why they call this good news. That's why we celebrate every opportunity we can. That's why we celebrate Christmas. He came into this world for this purpose. That's why we celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection at Easter season. That's why we celebrate Pentecost. All of these great moments as far as the story of Jesus are concerned are meaningful to us. Why? Because they cause great joy in us. Because through them, we died to the law so that we could belong to Christ Jesus.
Amen, brother. That's good stuff. Thank you, Bob, for getting this edition of Basic Gospel underway with the wonderful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, friends, we'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, as Bob said, and as I said at the top of the hour, if you have something you're struggling with, if you have a Bible passage you can't quite understand, this is a good opportunity to call straight into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. And, Bob, we've been talking about the need between now and the end of the year. Talk to our listeners a little bit about what that is and how they can help.
Well, December is the giving season, and our ministry and most other ministries really rely on the generosity of donors during this particular season. It will carry us for many months into the new year. So we are asking the Lord for a generous outpouring. We started this month with a target of $210,000. We would like to see come in. That would put us over the top as far as the first half of our fiscal year is concerned, and really put us in good shape to start 2021. So we have had a generous outpouring, but we still need more folks to stand with us. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to be a part of Basic Gospel Nation, if you would like to give to support the work that God is doing through this ministry and help deliver the good news to listeners all around the world, we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and cheerfully, joyfully give to help proclaim Jesus Christ. It's the best investment that you can make. It's the only investment that is going to reap eternal dividends. So join in. Let's work together. Let's partner together in this good news of Jesus Christ so that others can hear about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus.
Just visit basicgospel.net, friends, and click that donate button and make your most generous Christmas gift. And again, thank you for standing with us as we proclaim the greatest message the world will ever hear, the fullness of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ. Once again, donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to start in Thorndale, Texas, with our good friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Clay.
Hey, good to hear y'all.
Well, it's great to hear you, too.
Yeah, I want to stick with the topic today. I forgot about what the question you were asking, and I'll make it real short. When I was received Jesus Christ in 1995, I started off in grace and nothing but grace. About the next Sunday, I started easing into legalism with all these things that I needed to do now that I was a new Christian. 10 years later, I was a mess, okay? I was worn out. I didn't know what to do, okay? I wasn't going anywhere. As a matter of fact, I even considered pulling out of it, which I couldn't. I found out later, pull out of Christianity. So anyway, I learned about grace and no additives and nothing but grace. And, you know, it was a tough time that I went through with that legalism, but after I escaped, it says God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and called him according to his purpose. Now that my wife and I are only everything we do and live is through grace. And if anything pops up that's legalistic, that tries to tempt us in any way, I can pick it off because of what I went through and cast down that thought and that imagination. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, Clay. And, you know, I think all of us recognize our need for Christ as a Savior. We know that we've sinned. We know that we've fallen short of the glory of God. And so we turn to Christ and we receive his life. We're made new. And then we kind of leave grace right there, and we move on to other things. And I think this is the pattern for most Christians. I think pretty much everybody goes through this same story in one way or another. And we start taking the responsibility of the Christian life on our shoulders. And we start looking to rules and regulations and rituals and promises and all of these things to help us become the best Christians that we can possibly become. And we find out that we can't. We find out the words of Jesus that he said in John 15, that apart from him, we can do nothing, are true. And so that experience in the wilderness, in those legalistic tendencies, began to make the case for grace as far as our Christian life is concerned. The case was made for us as far as salvation was concerned, and now through our own failed, frustrating experiences, the case is made for grace as far as sustaining and empowering us in our Christian life, just living day in, day out. And that's why the word is so clear that our new life in Christ Jesus is a life of faith in Christ Jesus. It's not about human effort. It is not about following various rules and regulations. All of those may have an appearance of wisdom, but they do absolutely nothing in restraining the indulgences of the flesh. So we need grace at the beginning. We need grace all the way through to the end. As one theologian said, it's grace, grace, grace.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. You said that well. And that, you know, I don't know. I hope everybody doesn't have to go through that. You know, I think if you find the right group of people that are nothing but grace, maybe you may not have to have that wilderness experience, but I'm kind of like you. I sure hear it. It's prevalent a lot with a lot of Christians.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of it is because, you know, the teaching, the input we've received has not been aligned to the gospel of grace as far as daily living. And so we get this constant barrage of messages saying you need to try harder, you need to do better, you need to give more, you need to, fill in the blank. And so we try. We think here's some leaders. They seem to know what they're talking about, so we need to follow what they're saying. And I think the Word of God is going to offset that and say, no, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit is going to connect us to Christ and to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Okay, amen. Thank you all.
Well, thanks, Clay. Great to hear from you. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and the family, Clay. Thanks for loving on us, and it comes back to you.
Yes, indeed.
Take care now. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. That's 844-322-2742. And, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm Steve of Oklahoma. I have a question about when we get our new bodies at the rapture. Do we immediately get the new body and then get the white clothing that we're supposed to get? Aren't there two white garments, one underneath and one on the outside of the other one? And do we get clothed before we meet him in the air, or we get clothed down here on earth first when we get our new bodies? Thank you.
Well, Steve, good questions. I mean, all of those details aren't really filled out for us as far as the Word of God is concerned. What we do know is that we are going to get resurrected bodies, and it's in those resurrected bodies that we are going to inhabit the new heaven and the new earth. So that's good news. I mean, we see in 1 Corinthians 15, we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that all of this is going to happen at the Lord's appearing. When he comes again, we're going to rise up and meet him in the air if we are here at that moment. And it says we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now, as far as this clothing, this new body is you know, our new dwelling place, our new tent, so to speak. So that's part of that clothing. But also, when we see, you know, folks clothed in white, and what that really is referencing is the fact that we are clothed in the righteousness of God. There's no way to enter into the kingdom of God apart from the righteousness, apart from being clothed in the righteousness of God. So what does God do for us in Christ Jesus? He makes us righteous. So the passage that I think is really key on this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And it says this, that he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that's the great exchange. We exchange our sin for his righteousness. And so when we believe the good news concerning Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that righteousness of God is imputed to us. So we are made righteous. And that's the clothing that we have. And so anytime that you see a reference to clothes of white, it's talking about the righteousness of God that we now inhabit because we have been given the very gift of righteousness. So, Steve, hope that helps. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
We love hearing from our listeners. Any way you get a question to us is a great way. Of course, Steve left a message on the voicemail system overnight at 844-322-2742, so that's good when we're on the broadcast live, also overnight. So use that number. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, we had this question from our young friend Logan. Wonderful questions. He says, I was told by somebody at school that there are three things one must do to become a Christian and get into heaven. One, you must repent. Two, you must get baptized. Three, you must proclaim the faith. His question is there any truth to this? What is the meaning behind baptism, and is baptism required to get into heaven?
Well, as far as water baptism is concerned, it is not a requirement for salvation. It is not a part of the gospel message. Paul was very clear in his letter to the Corinthians. He says that he was sent not to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel. And what was that gospel? Well, he was very clear on that as well, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised back to life in accordance with the scriptures. So the only requirement for salvation, as far as we're concerned, is to recognize our need and then to receive the gift, of new life in Christ. And we receive it through believing that good news of Jesus Christ. So that's the simplicity of it. So water baptism isn't a part of that. Now, what does happen when we believe, God baptizes us into the body of Christ. He places us into Jesus. So we were once in Adam. We were lost. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But when we hear that good news of Jesus Christ, when we believe the good news, God takes us out of Adam and he places us into Christ. And that's what baptism means. It means to be immersed in, to be plunged into. So God immerses us in Christ. He totally identifies us with Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So that's something that God does. Now, when we choose to be baptized in water, we're just celebrating what God has already done through his Spirit. So that's a real celebration that we get to experience individually and that others who are watching get to celebrate with us. So it's a wonderful event for the body of Christ. We can all share in the joy of someone new coming to Jesus. So no, water baptism doesn't save. Now, as far as believing in Christ Jesus, baked into that is this idea of repentance, that we turn from our old way of life and turn toward Jesus Christ. So faith itself, repentance is a part of that process. So when you receive, when you hear the gospel, when you encounter Jesus, man, he answers all your questions. The search that you've been on comes to an end because you found in Christ everything that you need. Now, you were on a search out there in the world, and that search comes to an end. So you leave that, and you recognize that in Christ you have everything you need. And again, that repentance, that faith, is authored by God himself. So he turns our hearts toward him, and that's baked into this faith response.
Absolutely. Logan, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And Bob, I know that those questions from Logan are a thrill to his mom and dad's heart, so we love hearing from Logan.
Yes, we do. Logan is just a wonderful guy, and love the questions that he is bringing to Basic Gospel. B has this question for us, and she's watching us on our YouTube video webcast, and she says that's a good point, and she's referring to the point about teachers, that the Holy Spirit is our true teacher. And she asks, in light of that, what's meant when you hear about pastors shepherding the flock? Well, that's a really good question. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He's claimed to be the good shepherd. He's the one that laid down his life for you and me. He is the one that is going to lead us to pastures. Mm-hmm. And he's doing that today through his Spirit. Well, in Peter, his first letter, he talks about the under-shepherds, and he talks about their role in helping believers keep their eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And that's the role of a pastor or an under-shepherd, is to help believers grow in grace and grow in their knowledge of Christ Jesus. If they introduce other types of teaching, then they're doing a disservice to their job. Their job isn't to come up with new rules and regulations for us to follow. Their job isn't to come up with new rituals for us to engage in. Their job is to lift up Jesus Christ and to teach us what faith in Christ is all about. And they do it as the Holy Spirit reveals to them in their studies through the Word of God. And that's a great encouragement to the body of Christ. So their job is to help point the believer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to edify the believer, and in doing so, to build up the body so that the body can carry out its work at large in the world out there.
Absolutely. And B, of course, is watching on the webcast. And friends, don't forget that we do stream live video to both YouTube and Facebook every day. And you can find links to both at the top of our homepage. That's basicgospel.net, of course. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. And thanks again to all of you who support Basic Gospel every month. Please keep in mind that the end of 2020 is coming soon, and we need your help, your support, to reach out and get to the end of 2020 with the need met, and your most generous Christmas time gift will help Basic Gospel get there, get out of this year, and move into 2021 clearly focused on proclaiming the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you make your gift in December, we'll send you a brand new CD series by Bob Christopher called Making the Case for Grace. It's a walk through the heart of Romans, and we want to send you a copy of it with our thanks for your support of Basic Gospel in the month of December. Make your most generous Christmas time gift if you can at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Making the Case for Grace. A reminder also that between now and our next broadcast, if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some troublesome life issue, well, we invite you to call 844-322-2742. That, of course, is good in the U.S. and Canada. And at that number, you can tell us about it, and we'll be glad to discuss your issue on Basic Gospel and hope that's a help to you. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again with us tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.